Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Everyone, it's Jeremy. Before we jump into the episode proper, I wanted to indulge in a tiny bit of self-promotion. Retronauts has teamed up with fan gamer and engineer Mike Choi to create something for fans of classic gaming and Nintendo's Switch, FlipGrip. FlipGrip is the missing piece to Nintendo's Switch. It's a simple plastic controller grip that allows you to play the system sideways in handheld mode. A lot of old arcade games ran in what is known as Tate mode, where their screens and their cabinets were rotated sideways to be taller than wide. Lots of games on Switch offer vertical display options, which the system can take unique advantage of thanks to the way the entire console consists of a portable screen with detachable controllers, but until now you needed to set the screen on a desk stand in order to play Tate mode games. FlipGrip allows you to rotate your Switch and use it as a portable by securing the screens and the detachable Joy-Cons together in your hands. More than 20 games currently take advantage of vertical play on Switch, including timeless masterpieces like Galaga, Donkey Kong, and Pac-Man, hardcore shoot-em-ups like Ikaruga, Gunbird, and Strikers 1945, and even a few modern games like Pinball FX3 and Mutant Muds. There are more on the way, too, like Sega's Game Ground, SNK's Ikari Warriors, and bullet hell shooter Saivari R Delta. FlipGrip is available for pre-order now on Kickstarter. Unlike other Kickstarter projects, this one's risk-free. We've prototyped the FlipGrip extensively and it's ready for manufacture. We just need the cash to pay for it and have it produced and distributed. In fact, since the Kickstarter has already blown past its goal, we've already set the production wheels in motion, so the FlipGrip will be in your hands this fall. FlipGrip is just $12 plus shipping. So if you love classic gaming on Nintendo Switch, head over to Kickstarter before July 9th and check out FlipGrip. This Week in Retronauts, Podcast No Baka. Hi, everyone. Welcome to an explosive... No, actually, it's not explosive. What would be a good descriptive term for this episode of Retronauts? Not gender changing. That's weird. I guess that's okay.
Transformative?
Yes, a transformative episode of Retronauts. Well done.
Thank you.
I am Jeremy Parrish, and it just wouldn't be Midwest Gaming Classic without our regular Retronauts Midwest Gaming Classic panelist, contributor, et cetera, et cetera. Introduce yourself.
My name's Caitlin Oliver. One time I set a record in Splatterhouse, and it was really good. And I collect video games, and I'm just generally a giant nerd.
And, of course, also here is...
It's Bob Mackey. We're making it safe to talk about anime in 2018.
That's right. Yes, and what better anime to talk about in the year 2018 than, of course, the hottest, newest, freshest anime, Ranma One Half? Okay, so it's not exactly new and fresh, but then again, this is Retronauts, so it's old and stale, just like everything we talk about.
I don't know if it's stale.
Okay. Actually, no, Ranma is really interesting to revisit in this day and age, as I think, you know, gender identity and things like that have become more familiar to audiences. Yeah, well, yeah, fluid for one thing, and this is truly a gender-fluid anime and manga.
Well, we did a Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon episode. I don't know if it'll come out before this or after it, but one of our guests, Sam Lighthammer, had a very good point about the whole gender-changing thing, how it's a theme in a lot of Japanese stuff, And speaking as an ignorant American, I feel like their gender roles are even more strict. So there's like a fantasy of like what would it be like if I could do the things a woman could do or a man could do.
Right. And you definitely see that in Ranma 1/2.
Yeah.
So this is another one of those episodes where we're talking about a media property and the games related to it. But we're not just talking about the games related to the media property. We are talking about the media property itself. And I have a lot of fondness for Ranma 1/2, and I assume you guys are here because you also have a lot of fondness for Ranma 1/2.
I think a lot of people our age who are at least relatively or vaguely into the subject matter are at least familiar with it and have some nostalgia for it by default, just because it was one of the largest series in that time that at least America could get.
Yeah, it was one of the big breakouts of anime in the early to mid-90s. And unlike Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball, it never aired on television for some reason.
Couldn't imagine why.
but it was nevertheless really popular, both online and just in terms of home video sales. And that was really where it thrived, was Viz Media would publish their two-episode VHS tapes.
Ooh.
It was $30. It was $30 for two episodes dubbed and $40 for two episodes subtitled.
Because subtitles cost you extra.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was introduced to the series by renting it from a local comic book store because they would have maybe 15 or 20 tapes that they would rent out of random anime. And they were the only one place I could ever find Ranma, at least in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, this was the first series I ever really collected in the sense of, you know, having a collection of tapes. And that's because I picked up a few on rental and thought they were really interesting. But it was like, I think the first episode I ever saw was the one where Ukyo is introduced. So that's like third or fourth season. And I was like, okay, so one thing, I got a really really wrong idea of what the character dynamics were. Because I was like, man, why is Ranma stuck with this chick Akane? She's the worst.
Oh, no.
But I hadn't seen, you know, the foundation for their relationship. But it was really hard to find, you know, any, like, a consistent run of tapes. And then Viz started releasing their videos as box sets, the Digital Dojo box sets. And they were, like, an entire season for... It was probably like $150 or $200.
It was
a lot
really
of money.
Expensive.
But it was a good deal for the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll do this. I think it was $150 for the dub and $200 for the subtitle.
It took up way less space, too.
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of the DVDs.
DVDs. I have the whole series on DVD now.
It was called Digital Dojo on DVD as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that was what they called it on VHS, even though it was analog.
Okay.
So figure that out. It's weird. But yeah, I have a very strong memory of ordering by mail order the Digital Dojo. And then I went to do, I studied overseas in Prague for a month. And I came back and the box set had arrived while I was traveling. So like as soon as I get back into America, I start watching anime. And I remember... I like went out and got some Chinese takeout and a friend of mine came over and was like, so you get back to America and the first thing you do is watch Japanese cartoons and eat Chinese food. I was like, yeah, well, what can I say?
You're no patriot.
But right? Yeah, like anyway, the point is I just, you know, I read and watched a lot of Ranma back in the day and have a definite fondness for it.
Weeaboo before the term weeaboo was a thing.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
I was so wee and so boo.
I discovered it kind of late because of I didn't have the income to buy these expensive tapes, and no one was renting them. I mean, I rented all of the anime VHSs my video store had, but it was limited to like all the shitty movies, like the Fatal Fury movie and the Samurai Showdown movie and the Fire Emblem OVA. And I guess they had
an interesting selection.
The motion picture was directed by Masamo Obari.
I'm sure the animation is good, but it's nothing. I mean, the story is just like, actually, I didn't even really know about Fatal Fury characters either. But it was only until my anime club days of college. Yes, I'm that cool that I saw
in two anime clubs.
Oh my god!
My school didn't have an anime club. I hung out with the international students, and that was as close as I got.
Well, it was only then that I discovered the anime itself, but I had exposure to it because, like you said, it was one of the first bigger series released in America that didn't air on TV. Mm. So it might even be the first like. How are there, like 200 episodes or around that much? Or
no,
a little
I don't
under?
Think there's that much. It's 7 seasons, 26 episodes. Mm. So yeah, I guess it's like 160, yeah. 170.
But,
plus there's movies and OAVs.
I mean, I really enjoyed it, and I think it's all on Funimation now or Crunchyroll, one of those services just streaming, so it's easy to get.
Yeah, and again, there is an entire, like, the entire series is out on Blu-ray
yeah.
and DVD, I think. They didn't really promote it that heavily, but I did eventually find that they released the movies and OAVs on Blu-ray a few months ago, so I picked that up and my collection's complete. Although those are actually kind of the worst of the Ranma stuff. They take some liberties. But anyway, so let's talk about Ranma 1/2. It is actually, we keep saying anime, but it's manga. That's how it got to start.
True.
Created by Rumiko Takahashi, the artist, the mangaka, who created Urusei Yatsura and Meizani Koku, and more recently, following Ranma, Inuyasha and Rinne.
She's wealthier than Oprah, I think.
She's super rich.
Classify her work as seminal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she also did a lot of other stuff in the 80s. She doesn't do the one-off so much anymore, but she did stuff like Mermaid Forest, which was weird sexual
Fire
horror.
Tripper.
Fire Tripper, Maris the Chojo, the one with the boxer, One Pound Gospel. Yes. Mm.
And
I was going to say that's her as well.
Oh yeah, I mentioned Meizani Koku. That's actually my favorite series by Takahashi, but it's not as video game heavy. It's all like visual novels, so kind of hard to talk about.
Yeah.
But Ranma is it's kind of, you know, shonen boys anime or manga, but actually started out being written for girls. Like, she specifically set out to create something that would appeal to women. So the result is I feel like a kind of crossover, a show with crossover, or a book with crossover appeal. Like, I feel like it appeals to a lot of different people.
I feel like that's really appropriate for the subject in question.
Absolutely. So we should talk about
Jusenkyo.
Well, the premise, we keep talking about gender fluidity and that sort of thing, but that is the point of Ranma 1/2. And the title Ranma 1/2 in Japanese is Ranma Nibun no Ichi, which means Ranma two parts of one. So instead of saying this is half a person, it's saying it's two facets of a single person.
Like the term new half. Which is...
Is that from the same term?
New half is the new generally accepted term for transgender folks of all stripes. So I feel like it was kind of a proto term for that.
Hmm. Okay.
I could be totally wrong and somebody could tell me that in the comments.
I wonder, yeah, I wonder what the etymology of that is.
This is just what I suspect and how it would be related to it.
All right. So Ranma 1/2 is about a martial artist, a young high school student named Ranma Saotomi, whose father was like the head of a dojo.
Genma.
And so they spent a lot of time training. And on one of their training trips, they went to all kinds of places. But one of them was the Cursed Pools of Jusenkyo in China. And even though the guide was very adamant that they be very careful around the Cursed Pools, they weren't very careful. And they both fell into the Cursed Pools and became cursed. And their curse is that they transform when they are splashed with cold water and revert to their normal bodies when they're splashed with hot water.
This is a common theme in the series, as there were 1,000 pools in Jusenkyo.
Yeah.
So. It really wrote a lot of potential for other characters to be cursed in that series.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a lot of people who end up with a lot of different curses that transform into a lot of different things.
Animals, too? Not just gender swaps? It's also
Many animals.
Apparently, if something died in one of those pools, it was a very dangerous place.
Pigs and cats are drowning left and right.
The pool became cursed, and whoever fell into the pool would become cursed to take on that form. So Ranma's curse is that when he's splashed with cold water, he becomes a girl, like a red-haired... I guess in the manga, she's not red-haired, but a red-haired version of himself... but smaller and bustier.
And voiced by Megumi Hayashibara.
I believe so, yes.
Lena Inverse.
Yep. The hot-headed
Megumi-chan
anime ladies.
Bestu.
And then she played against type when she was Rei.
I know, right?
Which is awesome.
It's tricky. I got that wrong in an episode, and Kyle MacLean sent me some angry messages.
I left
that.
An angry comment on my own podcast. How dare you?
All right. So his father, Genma, is cursed to become a giant panda, which is a source of comedy because his father's actually pretty lazy and shiftless. So when he becomes a panda, he's actually like the one character who's more comfortable in his cursed form. He just lounges around as a panda, not doing anything.
He talks via signs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So other characters show up throughout the series, but sort of the core relationship in the Satori is between Ranma and a girl named Akane, who is the daughter of his father's best friend, Son Tendo. She's Akane Tendo. And basically, they were promised to be married to one another by their parents at a young age.
Well, okay.
Okay, get particular.
Son has three daughters, and he promised that one of his daughters would marry Genma's son in order to carry on their dojos.
It's like King Lear.
Yeah, and... they were kind of given the choice to select whom, and Kasumi and Nabiki, who are Akane's sisters, both bowed out and immediately pointed at Akane and said, since she doesn't even like boys, they'll be perfect together.
She hates men, and he's not even always a man, so it's great. Mm-hmm. But, of course, through the anime comedy of errors, they both kind of get to know each other by walking in on one another in the bathhouse. So she thinks he's a pervert, and that's kind of the basis of their relationship. But over time, they grow close together, but because he's very stubborn and prideful, and she's very sort of hot-headed. In different ways. They're both very proud and frustrating in different ways. Their relationship is always kind of at odds, and they just can't bring themselves to truly admit how they feel for each other, although you do get a lot of, like, you know, single panels where it's a close up of one character kind of looking off into the distance and like the background kind of fades away and they just say like Ranma or Akane.
So Akane is tsundere then?
Yes, very much.
Okay.
Very much the proto tsundere.
Should we explain what that means to people?
Go for it.
It's sort of the person who pretends they hate you even though they love you, but they're just too prideful to admit it.
And her catchphrase is Ranma no baka. You idiot, Ranma. So that's pretty much, and there's a lot of him being hit by tables and mallets pulled out of, I think this is where the term hammer space came from, isn't it?
It is exactly where it came from.
Okay, so that's...
Hammer space is Akane.
Yeah, so like, you know, the popularity of this series meant that there was quite a fandom that emerged for it online. This was kind of, I would say, the first sort of cult anime series to happen once the internet became popular. Like Dirty Pair sort of predates that, but Ranma One Half was, you know, right around the time that people were really getting online in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. So there was quite a fandom built up around it, and so yeah, lots of interesting terms emerged from Ranma.
Did you know
fandom.
There's a whole song Ranma no Baka that's just recorded with Akane screaming Ranma no Baka or Baka 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 Baka.
Yeah, isn't that? That's on one of the albums. Yeah,
it is one of the
one of the image albums where it's just characters singing songs about how they feel about things. Yep.
They had a Christmas song on it too, I think. Huh. I think that was the same album. They kind of blur together right now. But
we're talking about the manga or the anime or both?
They're both very similar. Like the first, I would say, two seasons of the anime are really, really directly adapted from the manga.
Yeah, I was reading about the production history, which I was unfamiliar with because it was just presented to us in America as like, here's season one and here's season two. But upon doing research, it was like season one did poorly and was canceled, and a month later it came back under a different name. So there's technically two shows. And I say that if you just want like to not watch all the episodes, season one is a great place to just dip in and dip out because it has some fantastic animation, which is probably why when they rebooted it, the animation was much worse, but still pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's this Twitter account called...
It has the first season has all the really fundamental character arcs too.
But there's a Twitter account called Random Sakuga, and it is about like showcasing via video the very brief flourishes of animation you'll see in anime, like 20 seconds or 30 seconds. And one day they showed the scene where the Akane arriving at school and all the boys trying to like confess their love or whatever. And it looks so great. I forgot how good the show looked.
Extremely well choreographed.
Yeah, and there's some really great scenes, even like the slow motion when Ranma deflects Ryoga's bandana and it cuts off Akane's hair that she's so proud of.
Yeah.
Like that slow motion scene with her hair.
Spoilers.
Like being, oh, it's fine. It's been 20, 30 years. Her hair, like, you know, coming out of its, the binding as it's cut and just like flying open, in slow motion and the world reacting around her.
Yeah.
This horrible
thing. I'm
picturing
it all as you're describing
yeah.
it. Like, I
it's
can
very,
very
iconic.
Clearly
yeah.
see it in my
eyes. Yeah, it's a really thoughtfully, like, the first season is very yeah. thoughtfully directed.
It's pretty interesting, though, that the same, so season one, it was canceled. The same people just made it cheaper and it went on for like 6 or 7 more years. And then there are like 15 OVAs, several movies. There was a recent short movie in like 2008 even.
Was there?
Yeah, I think that was the last Ranma content.
Unless you're counting the live action series from a few years ago.
I don't count any live action adaptations of anime.
I haven't seen it, but everything I've heard about it says,
yeah.
please avoid
I really
this.
Need to dip my toes in it, though. I have a thing for live action adaptations, and I know it's going to be terrible.
Well,
but
Caitlin, you would know this. In the Sailor Moon live action series, the Luna is just a stuffed animal, right?
That's correct. They use 3D animation for okay. like transitional parts, but in a lot of scenes it's straight up the like, manufactured plushie that you could buy.
They couldn't even get yeah. like a Sabrina the Teenage Witch style animatronic in there. It's like
I think it's the same thing with Genma in the Ranma TV series. It's just like a stuffed doll or something.
I figured they just cut away to stock footage of a panda.
No, they definitely do that. They do that in a lot of live action dramas because those don't usually get produced on large budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of one shots usually.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Japanese TV series do not have sequels. They do not do seasons like we do in America. They get 12 episodes or maybe, you know, between 10 and 13 episodes, and that's it.
So gender fluidity is again, one of the themes of this series. And I think one of the interesting things about the way it's written is that Ranma is not like, yeah, I turn into a girl. That's cool. He hates it. He's, you know, super macho. And to him, you know, this very prideful martial artist, like being turned into a girl is just like a tremendous humiliation for him.
Did we see how the transformation works?
Yeah, he splashed with cold water.
Is that the same for every transformation?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's
I thought that'd be like hot or cold.
Nope.
Or
hot turns them back into
okay.
their normal form.
Yeah,
right.
Cold turns them into whatever they're cursed to be.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the humor of the series emerges from just different pratfalls and misconceptions that happen because of the curse. For instance, Ranma's rival, this kid who completely hates him, named Ryoga. It's a very one-sided rivalry. Ranma's not even aware of it initially, but tracked him to the ends of the earth and eventually found him at Jusinkyo.
It took him a while to track
it did.
Him, though, because Ryoga notably has no sense of direction whatsoever.
Which is why he hates Ranma, because he challenged Ranma to a fight, and Ranma waited for 3 days, and Ryoga showed up on the fourth. It was like the vacant lot behind their school.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, he is cursed to turn into a piglet, and
Pichon.
And Akane thinks that Pichon is the cutest thing in the world.
It's true.
And snuggles uh-huh. up to Pichon, and just like he falls in love with Akane, and it's very one sided. But Ranma feels like he's honor forbids him from telling Akane that Pichon is Ryoga because it's Ranma's fault in a way that that Ryoga is Pichon. So yeah, so like that
the
becomes a point
of
tension.
Of
yeah. And there's people who fall in love with Ranma, men who fall in love with Ranma when he's in girl form and don't realize that he's not actually a girl.
Mostly Tatewaki Kuno, who is also in love with Akane.
Yeah, so there's a lot of can't really call it love triangles.
I thought you were gonna say gay panic jokes.
I don't really remember gay panic jokes in
well, it's
in
not
the
like I mean, it's like if you're in the body of a woman and a man is coming after you and that's the joke, it sort of is a gay panic joke. But it's also the 80s in Japan, so I mean,
yeah, I mean that is the thing, is like you have to kind of keep in mind that this does come from a different time, a different
yeah.
place. And like I don't even know that much about Rumiko Takahashi's personal life. Like, I've read speculation that she might be gay. She's never been married. Yeah, is she?
I heard she was not married.
Wait, no, yeah. She's not. I'm sorry.
She's not married.
But she only employs women to do her as assistants. So I guess we should point out that manga authors usually have a lot of assistants, or maybe just one, to do backgrounds and incidental characters, and they will do the main amount of work. But she notably just hires women to do her work with her.
Right. So my feeling on Ranma is that I just take what's presented in the series at face value.
Yeah.
This is one of those where you could read a lot of things into it, but I don't know that you really should, just because the context of everything, of its creation, is so different. If a straight white American dude wrote this series in 2018, I would be like, you should maybe rethink some of this. But coming from the time, place, and person that it does, I'm like, you know, okay, sure. Like the intention is different. And again, it was written to appeal to women, to you know, most manga appeals to like teenage boys, whereas this was meant to appeal more to younger girls.
I think it's also worth noting that Ranma, even if he may have had reservations, was also pretty free about using his female sexuality to further his whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he knows that like Ryoga gets very uncomfortable around women, so he's more than happy to basically torment Ryoga by like getting all cozy with him. And you know, early in the show, he realizes like, wow, if I go, you know, cruising for snacks and stuff as a girl, just a cute girl, and act, you know, winsome and adorable, then people will just give me stuff for free. It's great. So yeah, so you can write all kinds of essays about gender politics in this series, but I don't know that you're going to accomplish that much. It's just it's interesting.
I just feel like it's, even if he didn't want to be a woman and he wanted to get rid of the curse, and I can understand that, especially if you're somebody who is comfortable with your body, then having it changed against your will would certainly be uncomfortable. But he didn't hate it as much as he maybe let on, because he certainly learned how to use it.
Mm-hmm. And another way that the focus on a female audience really shows in this series is that it has a lot of tournament type, you know, combat sequences, but they're all built around things that are kind of traditionally feminine pastimes, like rhythmic gymnastics
or cooking
or ice skating. It kind of puts a twist on things like Dragon Ball, where it's not just like martial arts for the sake of martial arts, or Prince of Tennis, where it's not just like, you know, playing sports. It's this kind of ridiculous, like everything in Ranma's universe somehow has a martial arts component. So of course he's like, oh, I can win this contest. And then there ends up being some sort of big to do about it, and he gets entangled with his rivals, or Akane's rivals, or there's something on the line.
Rhythmic gymnastics is my favorite arc, actually. The one with Kodachi Kuno.
Yeah.
I almost swapped their first and last names. Not bad of me. But she was just such a good character. She was always the Ojo-sama kind of haughty laugh.
Oh, yeah. Putting your hand like this.
Yeah, to the side of her face. And I don't want to blow out a microphone, so I'm not going to do that.
But yeah, she's also like a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like a pure, murderous, unrestrained high school psychopath who goes to an all-girls school. So
they call her the Black Rose.
There's a bit of, I think, repression going on there.
Do we know of the popularity of Ranma in Japan? I know it lasted for a while and it had a lot of content, but I'm wondering if it's perhaps more popular here because of how it was released here.
I think it is, yeah.
I know people like my friend Henry. He looks for Ranma stuff whenever he goes to Japan, and it's just not there. And I mean, there's lots of things that just aren't there. But if this series was so, I don't know, impactful as I think it is, I figure there'd still be some lingering things, or like a new pachinko machine or something like that.
No, Ranma was I wouldn't say niche over there, but it definitely was not as popular as Urusei Yatsura or Maison Ikkoku. It was kind of like a trail off a bit for Takahashi's work, I think. Compared to like even Inuyasha.
I think Inuyasha was huge, like super huge.
Yeah.
And that's one I've actually never watched.
I haven't seen it.
I read the first few volumes and it didn't really connect with me, but I guess I was kind of wanting more Ranma. But really, like, Ranma undergoes some transitions over the course of its running. Like, it starts out, it's, yeah, like, it's very much a sort of slice of life romantic comedy with this kind of weird, goofy supernatural element.
I feel that's when it's at its best.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the plotting in the first, you know, couple of years is really strong. The characterization is strong. And then after that, it gets a little more, like, screwball comedy and stops being so much about, like, individual stories and, you know, like, the kind of continuing narrative and character development, and more just, like, here's all these ridiculous characters. Let's put them together in ridiculous ways. You know, somehow always revolving around martial arts or Ranma's curse or whatever, or some romantic entanglement. And then toward the end, it's more, it becomes more like a traditional shonen anime. There's a lot of fighting and rivalries with, like, serious martial arts opponents.
Technique mastery to level up to...
Yeah, I don't know if there's ever any leveling up so much.
Well,
but
it's not direct leveling up, but there's certainly points where technique mastery becomes a focus, and that's the key to defeating opponent X.
Right. Well, that's one thing that I think really kind of stands out about Ranma 1/2 is that Ranma's family school is the Musubetsu Kakuto Saotomi school of what is it? The indiscriminate grappling, or I think it was is the direct translation.
They used indiscriminate grappling for sure.
But anything goes martial arts is how Viz went with it.
Yes.
But basically, it means like, There are nothing's off limits. Like, anything's
fine. No holds barred.
Yeah. So Ranma tends, he's not like a dirty fighter. He has some integrity, but basically the prime technique of the anything goes school of martial arts is to run away. So when he's losing, he takes off and regroups and tries to think back, like, how can I, you know, outdo my opponent? So yeah, basically, like, running away to fight another day is the central tenet of the Anything Goes martial arts school. So there's a lot of stories that, you know, he's just completely overmatched, even against Ryoga at the beginning. And
that's when
then
he
comes back.
And, the, oh gosh, I can't remember the name, the chestnut one.
The Amagurigen or something like that?
Amagurigen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amagurigen that he learns from Shampoo's grandmother, Cologne.
And it's the chestnut punch because she, like, he's just, like, grabbing hot chestnuts.
Yeah, she throws them into a bonfire and makes him pick them out with
right.
his bare hands.
So he becomes extremely fast because he's grabbing these burning chestnuts from a fire and not wanting to, you know, destroy his hands. So, yeah, there's always kind of, like, a goofy Karate Kid kind of element, like, you know. Yeah,
that's the leveling up, I know.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's the same kind of thing you see in, like,
Dragon Ball leveling up.
No, but
you form.
It's more like early Dragon Ball, where, you know, Muten Roshi, is making Krillin and Goku do ridiculous menial tasks, and it turns out, oh, by the way, you're mastering amazing martial arts in the process. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that, but much, much stupider and goofier.
One thing we didn't point out about the anime is if you watch the dub, everyone is distractingly Canadian. It's like they wandered off the set of Strange Brew. I did not care for that much. I think we watched the sub, but we watched some of the dub. I'm like, everyone is so Canadian, I can't take it.
I didn't really recognize Canadian accents or dialects back then, so I'd have to rewatch. But you're probably right. A lot of voice talent was Canadian.
They did a good job, but I mean, to my American ears, it's just like, it's already weird that they're speaking English, but now that they're all Canadian, it's extra weird. I'm sure if you're Canadian, it's
What's
like,
all
oh,
this a boot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we made do with dubs because they were a lot less expensive than subtitles back in the day. That was the American
way.
$10
a tape extra for subs every time.
Yep.
No matter what the price point was. Like, even if you were lucky and you got the 1999 tape, still $29.99 for subs.
Yeah, hearing the two episodes per tape kind of surprised me. By the time I started buying VHS tapes, it was like three if it was just a TV series. Occasionally you get one with four on it. It would be like your lucky day.
Yeah, like every – I feel like they came out every other month. So like every other month I would – put down my $30 and watch 45 minutes of anime.
My dad would take me to Suncoast Video at the mall and let me pick out a tape. And I would be super excited to go home and watch my two episode tapes that he paid so much money for. Thank you, Dad.
This episode, we're talking about a lot of bad games, and there's nothing worse than paying your hard-earned cash for one of those stinkers. That's why we recommend Gamefly, the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. With a monthly subscription to Gamefly.com, you can pick your favorite games from more than 9,000 titles and have them mailed directly to your door to try before you buy. You don't have to waste your money buying the latest new games until you know if they're worth it. And with Gamefly, you have access to the newest game releases, and you can keep them to play for as long as you want. For one monthly fee, Gamefly gives you access to unlimited video game rentals of all the most popular titles, from Madden to Call of Duty to Splatoon 2. A subscription costs as little as 54 cents a day. There's always free shipping on the more than 9,000 titles available, and you can cancel anytime. You can keep your rentals as long as you want with no late fees or due dates. Just mail back a game once you're done and they'll send you whatever you choose next. And they offer movie rentals too. So go to Gamefly.com/Retronauts and start your free premium 30-day trial today. This premium trial allows you to check out two games and or movies at a time, a special Retronauts offer. The usual first free month offer is only one game at a time. You can only get this offer by visiting Gamefly.com/Retronauts. Sign up today and start playing all your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days. So before we finish talking about the manga and the anime, are there any personal favorite storylines that you have? I think, Caitlin, you said the rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah, I really love the rhythmic. I love anything with rhythmic gymnastics, Ukyo and Shampoo.
Okay. So what is it about that particular storyline that you feels really is like the pinnacle of Ranma? Why is that?
I feel like he and Akane get to play really well together in that, and they learn to actually work together and fight together during it, and that they start to rely on each other a little more and stand up to Kodachi and various other people in rhythmic gymnastics. And he also learns to harness his femininity a little more, because he's doing this all in a leotard one piece with ribbons. And
it also really plays up the rivalry with Ryoga, I think. He kind of comes in and he's like, okay, Ranma, you suck at gymnastics, so I'm going to train you now, which is basically just his excuse to beat the crap out of Ranma. Like, he's not really interested in making Ranma a better fighter. He just wants the excuse to beat the crap out of Ranma.
If he gets better, it's lucky break for him.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good one. I'm trying to think about on my favorite. Bob, what about you?
I wanted to revisit some of the manga before this trip, but I didn't have time. But I will say, from my memories, anything with Shampoo is great, because it's sort of a like a Pepe Le Pew kind of story, but with the roles reversed.
Accurate.
Yeah, and I kind of liked. I mean, it's not that original, but back when I watched, I was like, this is pretty funny. So. And it's a funny the her episodes were always really very interesting and entertaining too.
They wacky. Have cute interactions with one another.
And she turns to a cat, which is also very cute.
Yeah. A cat with like little
bells.
Yeah, bells in her hair. So Shampoo is a Chinese martial artist who Ranma defeats, and because he defeats her in girl form, Shampoo wants to kill him because it's like the tradition of her
Amazon tribe.
Her tribe that,
she's a Chinese Amazon.
Yes, of course, because that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
So it's a tradition of her tribe that when a woman is defeated in combat by another woman, the loser must avenge herself. But if a woman is defeated by a man in combat, then they must get married. So when she finds out the truth about Ranma, it goes from being like, the indestructible Terminator stalking him to kill him to, basically a different kind of stalker coming after him.
I learned what Ni Hao meant as well.
Shampoo.
That's right.
And then, of course, Shampoo has her own suitor who hates Ranma named Moose.
Right.
Who turns into a goose.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
He's nearsighted and can't see for
He's
crap.
Got those crazy, like,
swirling glasses.
Yeah, with, like, the like, it indicates you're insane if you have, like, little concentric circles in your glasses. Or you're a huge nerd.
The Umino glasses from Sailor Moon.
Yeah, you're right.
Melvin.
Or like a creep, I guess, too.
Yeah.
I think my favorite story is the full body cat tongue saga. I normally hate anything involving Happosai, the perverted old man who is basically Ranma's parents' master. Yeah, he's like this horrible little pervert, and he's not funny. But in this particular case, he gets mad at Ranma for some minor infraction and curses Ranma so that his body is as sensitive as a cat's tongue. So he can't turn back into his male form because even lukewarm water is like burning hot to him. So he's, you know, like anytime he touches hot water and changes back, he's like, I'm scalding, and he has to splash himself with cold water to cool down. So he has to like overcome his own weaknesses, including
look for a crazy mystical medicine to try to cure it.
Right. And also there's the whole fact that he's terrified of cats, which plays into this. Like his father's idea of a training exercise when Ranma was a child was to get a pit full of like hungry cats. And cover Ranma's body with fish sausages, like Naruto or whatever, and toss him in and like learn to survive. But all it did was traumatize this poor child into being terrified of cats. So of course, like the fact that Shampoo turns into a cat also freaks him out.
Yeah, that's right. You're talking about Happosai, the little old man.
Yes,
I noticed in the series, and I wonder how the author feels about it now. But all of the elderly people are just like tiny bug creatures. And now that she is becoming an older lady, I'm wondering if she's like, I should have been more sensitive to the elderly.
Probably
Cologne
not.
Cologne was awesome, is the difference. Cologne was super strong. She was a powerful figure, and she wasn't a creepy panty snatcher.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, that
she
is kind of
a lot better.
I mean, even my wife, she's not Japanese but Vietnamese, has said that's kind of how Asian people age. They're like, they look young, and then all of a sudden, like,
it hits them all
one
at once.
Day.
Yeah.
They're just like they shrink and become tiny and wizened and bald.
I should say we're all white in this room and we all age horribly, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 21 and look at me.
No, it's just an Asian thing that I'm jealous of. Your genes are wonderful, is what it is.
On the other hand, I can drink milk, so
I'm wearing Asian jeans right now. They're from Uniqlo. That's true.
So I feel like, we've all talked about the storylines, everything. So with our discussion of the anime and manga out of the way, let's talk about the video games. Naturally, Ranma One Half being a fairly successful anime and manga in the late 80s and early 90s spawned many video games. And because it involves martial arts, a lot of those have to do with fighting. But it's not just fighting games. Because it's an anime, there's also a lot of visual novels.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of puzzle games.
Yep. And I believe only one of these ever came to America. Technically, two of them.
Technically,
but only
two.
One of them came to America.
Licensed as.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a Ranma One Half game. So the two that did make it over to the U.S. came on Super NES. And so that's where we're going to start. It was the Super NES fighting games.
Are we starting with Hard Combat?
Street Combat, yes.
Oh, Street Combat. Okay.
So yeah.
Street Combat first. Got it.
So a lot of these games were made by Messiah. And published by, I can't even remember, some of them were published by Messiah, but actually developed by Atelier Double, who is a company that I have written about on Game Boy Works a lot. They did like Sokoban and stuff like that.
I think Micro Cabin did a few too.
Yeah,
they?
Probably.
Or
especially
PC
on PC. Yeah, yeah. So just a lot of like companies that don't really get a lot of traction in the US. Messiah is better known for its shoot 'em ups. And having played Ranma's fighting games, I would have
reason.
To say that Messiah is always best when they are working with shooters. All right. But yeah, the Super NES, Super Famicom was the dominant platform in Japan at the time of Ranma's peak popularity. So it makes a lot of sense that most of the games would come out for Super Famicom, Super NES. But the first one was just called, I think, Ranma One Half. It probably had some sort of subtitle in Japan. But, oh yeah, Chonai Gekito Hen, whatever that means. Anyway, I should have looked that up. Yeah, so it was, you know,
someone
pretty
in the
much
comments will tell
you. Of course.
A lot.
It should have, you know, it should have surprised no one that as a fighting game, this basically just brings in the Ranma cast, like the main cast. But it's when it comes to America that it becomes very interesting. Have you guys played Street Combat?
I rented it a long time ago without knowing what Ranma was. And in retrospect, I'm guessing it was a more expensive to use the characters because they put a lot of work into reskinning this game. A lot of in terms of all the new art they had to create and things like that. They did a lot of work for a not great game.
A lot of really ugly work.
Yeah, that too.
Well, I wonder if it was a matter of it being expensive or if it was a matter of it being tied to a media property that hadn't really appeared in the U.S. yet.
True.
Because at the time Street Combat first showed up on Super NES, I don't think Ranma had really launched here. Maybe the manga had, but not the anime.
Well, I mean, my argument ultimately is, would it have mattered? These are in either case, if you don't know what Ranma is, these are all going to be new characters for you. So my question is, like, why did it even matter? Like, you know.
Because I think at that point, a lot of game companies felt like anime and manga properties were too cartoony. And
that is true.
America needed... They were still in that mindset where it was starting to become less prevalent, but they still wanted to westernize a lot of stuff and make it more palatable to...
I agree with that in general, but maybe not with Street Combat, because what they ended up going with for the character designs, they are not more realistic or less cartoonish than Ranma. They're weird. It's really weird.
When I see the character designs, it reminds me of when Japanese artists parody American comic books. It's hard to explain in words, but if you look at the designs, I mean, they're not doing a good job at it. If you look at the manga and anime series My Hero Academia, one of the main characters, All Might, is like a Japanese parody of an American superhero, right down to how he's drawn and animated. So I feel like they were trying to go for that, but they were very amateurish in how they were doing
it. They did a terrible job of it.
They did not have...
There's a lot of clowns in this game for some reason.
It's true. They did not have, like, an accomplished artist making designs for them to copy. They were left to their own devices, and those devices were bad.
Yeah, there's only one character that even vaguely resembles the original Japanese character, and that's a girl named Lita, who was originally Shampoo. And she's just, you know, like a young girl... Or young woman wearing a mini dress, and I guess they figured sex appeal is good in either territory, so they kept her the same. But like Tadawaki Kuno, who is this ridiculous character in the comics, who, you know, styles himself as like a modern day samurai. So he goes to school instead of wearing a school uniform, he wears like, you know, a kendo gi, and he carries a wooden boken, like a training sword, around with him all the time.
He calls himself the Blue Thunder.
Yes. Mm. Aoi Kozuchi! Yes.
Well, right now I'm watching some Street Combat now on my laptop, and it's Ranma named Steven fighting Happosai as a small dwarf named Happy.
Yeah. Actually, Happosai came across fairly close, but yeah, like it becomes weird because when it's divorced from the backstories for these characters, you're like, why is this giant, like, burly martial artist guy beating up on a tiny dwarf? It's terrible. he's like a small, defenseless old man. Why would you do that? You know, when you understand in Ranma that Happosai is extremely talented as a martial artist and also a horrible human being, like, it totally makes sense that Ranma would beat the stuffing out of him.
Happosai's special attack is throwing bombs at people.
Yeah.
Very large bombs. Like, that's what he does.
Yeah, so anyway, Kuno, the modern-day samurai, becomes G.I. Jim, who is basically Guile, but carrying, like, a stick.
Yeah.
And hitting people with a stick. Kodachi Kuno, who is his sister, who loves to be a gymnast, uses unfair, dirty weapons when she's a gymnast, becomes a clown. Genma, the guy who becomes a panda, also becomes a clown. Jesus. Here.
I feel like, at least for Kodachi in particular, they chose a clown because of her weapons.
Yeah.
Specifically, right. Because she has, like, the juggling type... I don't know what they call them in Rhythm and Gymnastics, but the weighted pins that they can throw and juggle. So they kind of ran with that and went, what juggles? A clown.
Sure. But what about Genma?
That I don't know.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, that one's weird.
And then Ranma's female form. Like, in all of these games, you can play as Ranma as a male or a female. And in some games, they actually have different abilities or, you know, stats depending on their the character's gender. But here, Ranma, the girl, becomes Steven wearing armor.
Oh, Steven.
I'm like, well, the idea behind Ranma, you know, becoming a girl in a fight is that he becomes faster, but he has less reach, so it puts him at a disadvantage while giving him some other advantages that people might not expect. But here it's just like, now you're in power armor. Okay.
I think everybody expects the female character to be faster. Let's be real.
Well, that's canon in Ranma 1/2.
I'm watching the ending. It says, congratulations, Steven. You are a very worthy champion and a fine young man.
Wow. He looks like a TV host of some variety show or another in Japan. It doesn't matter which one. Yeah. He just looks like a variety show host.
Yeah, that's interesting. But one thing I really appreciate is that in this game, they changed...
Sorry, we're distracted over here. It's a very hilarious game.
But not deliberately funny. No, but it's like, I love the fact that you know, they redrew all the characters and changed them to be more friendly to Americans, but they didn't change the backgrounds or the music. So you're still fighting in like Narima, Tokyo. Boy, that was tough to say. So there's like, you know, you're in backyards, Japanese backyards, or in like, you know, a koi pond or in a Japanese school gymnasium. Yeah.
I mean, at that point, if you're going to actually redo all the backgrounds, why not make a new game? Because you're essentially doing most of that work, you know, at the time.
Yeah, like if they had completely redone the backgrounds, then no one would ever have known. They were just like, oh, they just used the Ranma 1/2 engine to create a brand new game. But no, it's just... it's really strange. It's one of the weirdest localizations I've ever seen.
And it's a really ugly reskin.
It is.
It's so bad. It's just like, who would buy this? Not me. I did not buy this.
I like to collect things like Ranma games or horrible spin-off games from my favorite properties. And that's not what I want.
It's not.
Digster has a playlist for every moment, mood, and minute of your life. Digster is soundtracking your world one playlist at a time. Go to digster.fm and see what I'm talking about. They have thousands of the best playlists. It's like your best friend made you your favorite mixtape. I found a ton of my favorite playlists on digster.fm. Some of the better playlists I've found on Digster are pop/punk, classic power ballads, party jams, summer vibes, and rock hits. And they even have a playlist called Gaming Flow. We actually got a chance to get together with Digster and create our own playlist with a mix of our favorite tunes. So if you go to digster.fm/Bob and digster.fm/Jeremy to see our playlists, follow, share, and listen to them. What songs do I have in my playlist? Well, I'll tell you just a few of them. We have A Bright Future in Sales by Fountains of Wayne. They are not just the people behind the Hot Mom song, folks. My Sharona by The Knack, and no, not the grotesque PS4 mascot creature. I'm talking about The Knack, folks. They're a rock band. The Shark Fighter by the Aquabats, one of the few rock bands that is actually also a superhero group. And my favorite karaoke song, A Birdhouse in Your Soul by They Might Be Giants. Be sure to follow our playlist so you can listen over and over. The playlist will be updated weekly, so be sure to check back each week for updates. Again, go to digster.fm/Bob and digster.fm/Jeremy and listen to our playlist. And be sure to head to digster.fm always for the best mix of music for every moment, mood, and minute of your life.
No matter who you are, brushing your teeth is one of the most important parts of your day to stay healthy. Quip knows that. And their team of dentists and designers is focused on helping you take care of your mouth better. Quip is an electric toothbrush that costs a fraction of bulkier brushes, but still packs just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. Quip has a built-in timer to help you clean the dentist-recommended way. And they offer new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule. Every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. With Quip, you don't have to worry about getting new brush heads or toothpaste. They're delivered right to your door on schedule. So you replace your brush on time and have better oral oral hygiene at an affordable price. It's not just for convenience, it's for your health, too. Quip has appeared on Oprah's O-List, was named one of Time's Best Inventions, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/retro right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/retro. getquip.com/retro.
I want to take a minute to talk about underwear. Yes, underwear. Everybody needs it, and new is better than old, and they have to be comfortable, so you should get some Me Undies. Me Undies stay put. No moving around. They come right to your door. If you're going to play a video game, you need comfort. I don't make the rules, folks, but those are the rules, and I swear you will like Me Undies. This is a no-risk offer. If you're not happy, they'll refund the cost, and you get to keep them. And because you're listening to Retronauts, you can get 15% off your first pair and free shipping. Go to MeUndies.com/retro. That's MeUndies.com/retro. And here's an extra gift for you. Order a pair, take a screenshot of your transaction, and send it to me, and I'll send you another pair. You get one for 15% off, and then another pair from me free. The first 25 people to send a proof of purchase, a screenshot of your purchase or of the receipt, I'll send you another pair free. Just send your proof to gift@podcastone.com. Put retro in the subject line, and you will soon have another pair in your collection. Let's do this. MeUndies.com/retro.
If you dig Retronauts, you're not going to want to miss No Excuse with John Taffer. Shut it down and listen to John, the award-winning hospitality legend, as he brings his straight talk and unapologetic approach to daily topics and current events. You don't want to miss his latest interview with Adam Carolla, so download No Excuses every Tuesday on Podcast One, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to rate and review.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
So I did not buy that one, but I did buy Ranma One-Half Hard Battle after I started watching Ranma.
I got it.
And that was nice. That was the one game that came to America as Ranma One-Half. And I said, I don't really care that much about fighting games, but I will buy this. And it's actually an okay fighter.
I like that game, and I think it gets a way worse rap than it deserves. Not that it's reviled or anything, but I think it's really not as bad as people make it out to be.
I didn't know people made it out to be bad.
They do. It's not a good system. The AI is really hard.
I did notice that, but I thought that's because I suck at fighting games.
No, the AI in that game is just really hard. It's not considered to be a great game, but I think it's pretty decent. It's especially for the time it came out, it was more than serviceable. And honestly, I think it looks better than what's considered to be the better fighter. Mm-hmm. I think it's a better visual game.
Really? So you like it better than Shogi Ranbuhen?
I do, artistically at least.
Huh, interesting. I do appreciate the fact that female Ranma is dressed more like his usual self in this game. Whereas in the Japan-only sequel, Ranma's wearing like a girl's swimsuit or something for no particular reason. It's kind of weird. It seems like a really strange cheesecake
really lazy
choice.
Attempt at fan service. Super lazy.
I think this was the first time I really engaged with Ranma stuff after reading mentions of it in like Wizard magazine and things like that. I think renting this game was like, oh, I guess this is the thing they're talking about, but I have no way to watch it or anything. So that looking at the gameplay, I'm like, oh yeah, this is how I learned about all these characters through playing the game and watching all the endings and stuff like that. Because don't they get like a wish if they win the tournament or something like that? Or the principal gives them something?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
They're supposed to, and it, of course, usually ends up not working out so well, the monkey's paw kind of wish.
Yeah, so
because
this is
a comedy series.
Right, of course. So yeah, this is again, like we said, it was brought to the U.S. and it was promoted heavily, cross promoted heavily in the Ranma anime and manga. Like it was in the Viz floppies, there would be ads for it. So they pushed it pretty hard. It's kind of weird because of that they didn't use like Viz dubs voices for the character battle cries, and they also didn't use like the original Japanese voices. It's just like these weird voices that you're like, Ranma's like super deep voiced. He's like, rrr,
I feel rrr. Like even, I mean, this was like 1992 or 1994. What do we have a year on this?
I want to say it was 95, actually, that it came to the U.S.
I don't think they would go to the lengths to track down the dub cast and have them record new audio, even in the mid-90s.
Right, but they did re-record the voices, and they didn't use the Japanese voices.
Weird.
So 92.
Well, that's when the game came out in Japan. It showed up here later than that.
93.
Oh, was it that early?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. So it was right at the beginning of the localization of Ranma. So that makes some of the choices in this game a little strange. It has a lot of characters who wouldn't show up in the U.S. Run of Ranma for several years. So, like, when I first played this, I was like, who the hell is Gambling King? And why am I fighting a Minotaur at the end? So, yeah, there's, like, these two major characters in here that, like, Gambling King is a minor character from, like, a single one-off story. And it's so weird that they put him in this, because he's, like, if you read a story, like, it doesn't really have any impact. It's very kind of trivial.
He's and a fun-looking character. He's the king from one of the suits.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like no human should look like that, so it's right. Fun to see him move around.
True. Okay, fair enough.
He's like a short, fat version of the king of suit.
Yeah.
Right. And then Pantyhose Taro is the guy who turns into a Minotaur. And he's like one of the Chimera super... Kinda. Yeah, he's like a super serious fighter from one of the later story arcs. When it becomes more like a shonen anime. So he wouldn't appear in the U.S. until, like, I want to say, like, 96 or 97. So many years after this came out. So there was this kind of disconnect between the localization of the manga and the game. But, oh, well. Anyway,
it was easy to buy because it was a versus fighter. That's what,
yeah.
Especially in the U.S. when we were just getting stuff like Street Combat shoved at us.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty reasonable. Honestly.
I agree. And I think it does a good job of interpreting the characters. Like, if you go back and watch or play it, the characters move and act in ways that are very distinct to that character. Like, Ryoga, in the comics, Ranma is much faster than Ryoga, but Ryoga is much stronger. And here he has this, even though they're the same size, like, Ryoga just has this way of moving that seems sort of hulking and
the Zangief
and
kind of slow and plodding but clearly threatening move.
Yeah, but in a normal sized teenager, right, as opposed to a gigantic wrestler.
But the same movement.
But style. Yeah, like it translates that really well to the character. So I think it does a good job of interpreting the characters. It is kind of limited as a fighter because the characters only have a couple of special moves. Because I think they tried really hard to stick to like what's canon in the comics. So Ranma has his speed punch attack, and he has his Hiryu Shotenha, which is like a dragon punch, basically. And
Amagori Ken.
Yeah, and then Ryoga has the Shishihukuden, which is it's basically a chi attack, but it's based on his depression. No, it's his depression, isn't it?
Oh. I was thinking of his umbrella attack.
Oh, yeah, he has umbrella attacks, but then his, like, special chi attack, instead of, like, drawing on his combat strength, that draws on the fact that he's always depressed. Right. So the sadder he is, the more powerful it is.
I also think Ranma is one of the last series to predate fighting games and the fighting game genre. So, like, Takahashi was developing all of this without thinking back to, like, what do Street Fighter people do? And what do, like, Tekken people do? So I feel like with a lot of anime currently, you can see, like, influences from games, but this is like the last time where they would be free of that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So yeah, I don't know, like, as the one representative game for the Ranma franchise to make it to the U.S., I think it's okay.
We could have done a lot worse.
We certainly could.
Yep.
There are some real stinkers on this list that we won't talk about in too much depth, but I do want to talk about the one last of the third Super Famicom, Super NES fighting game, and that's Chogi Ranbu Hen from 1994. Supposedly the best of the fighting games, although Caitlin disagrees.
I do. It's not that I think Chogi Ranbu Hen is bad. but I think at least visually, it doesn't stack up to Hard Battle. I think Hard Battle looks a lot better. I think the characters are a little bigger. They have more color variation to them. The backgrounds are a little more, they have a little more depth to them. They have some, like, they'll have fog effects in front of them to give depth to a stage.
I do think I like the design of the characters in this version better, aside from female Ranma.
Yeah, what's up with her? Him?
Him.
Okay. She's jiggly and wearing, like, the gym shorts that look like underwear and, like a tube top.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's the right colors as her normal uniform with the yellow top and the blue pants that Ranma wears a lot, but it's a glorified bra and underwear.
Yeah.
Right. But okay, so aside from that, like, I like the look of the characters in this. They have a very sort of cute style that's reminiscent of Takehashi's artwork, especially like the splash page panels and that sort of thing. So I like it on that front. But yeah, like, it doesn't have as many interesting effects and the animation's not as good as in Hard Battle.
I think the characters in Hard Battle look better.
Okay. That's fair.
But personal preference, I think they both look pretty good. It's not like I think Chogi Ranbuhen looks bad.
Yeah. Supposedly this was going to be released in the U.S. as Anything Goes Martial Arts, but there was a problem with the licensor. They went out of business, so that all fell through. I don't know how true that is, but I did find some claims of that online.
It's a little hard to find clear information on that era, too. Nobody documented it, really. Not well, anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting that it doesn't just use the previous game's engine, which I guess is good because it makes it a distinct fighter, but it does lose a lot of the little touches that I liked, like, you know, like Ryoga's animation and that sort of thing. So it's okay, I guess. Eh. And it has, it has a weird collection of characters. Like, you always have Ranma, Akane, Kuno, Ryoga. Usually have, you know, always Shampoo, Ukyo. Sometimes you get Kodachi. But this one has Mariko, who is a cheerleader, who, again, like Gambling King, is just like this minor character from a single storyline. You're like, why? And then it has the final two characters you fight are Miss Hinako, who is a character introduced later in the series, who is a she's not cursed in the way that the other characters are, but she's like very sickly. And Habosai taught her this technique to steal other people's chi by focusing it through circular coins. You know, Japanese coins, the five denominations have a hole in the middle. So she uses, like, anything, basically, that serves as a focus like that. But she usually uses coins, and she siphons people's chi away, and then she turns into a very voluptuous woman. So she's like a very sort of mean-spirited person who takes advantage, not in a bad, like, a sexual way, but just doesn't treat her students very well. So she's kind of a villain in the stories. It makes sense for her to be here. And then Herb, who is in the manga only, there was never an anime based on that, but he's like kind of the culmination of the late era of the series, really going in for the serious martial arts drama. He's like an extremely powerful fighter who's also cursed to turn into a woman, but in it, like, he's just on a whole different level as a fighter than Ranma.
But so not memorable that I can barely picture him without looking him up as a reference.
Well, you know, he is from late in the manga, and he was never turned into an anime character. So,
I mean, I've read the whole thing, but not in a while.
And right.
So he just does not stand out.
So anyway, I guess some good choices here and also some not so good choices. I like Akane in this one. She's not wearing the martial arts gi. She's wearing her student uniform.
Yeah.
And she has the ability to, like, summon her school bag into existence to wallop people and stuff like that. So
a dimensional school bag.
Yeah, of course. So there's some fun details in this one. There were fighting games on other platforms, of course, such as the PC Engine CD-ROM. The first of them is really interesting. It's called Dato Ganso Musubetsu Kakuto Ryu. And instead of being like a traditional fighting game, it's more like a narrative fighting game in that each match is kind of predetermined. You only play as Ranma, and like the form you fight in, whether it's male or female, is determined per match, and your opponent is determined each match. And it basically, because it's PC Engine CD-ROM, it has a lot of interstitial cutscenes, so it's basically playing out the first few chapters of the manga.
It's a story mode in a fighting game, except that's the only part of
it. Well, there is a versus mode, but this treats the versus mode as secondary.
Right.
And you really don't have any like special moves in this one, so it's just a melee fighter, which really limits it. It's a really like it's contemporary as a release with Street Fighter II, so it doesn't benefit from ideas like special techniques and combos and things like that.
So it's sort of doubling down on the whole multimedia aspect because of the format?
Something like that. I don't know. Like the most remarkable thing about this is that it's the sauciest Ranma game because it's PC Engine CD-ROM. It didn't have Nintendo and Sega censorship on it. So like the very first battle takes place in the bathhouse and Habosai turns Ranma into a girl. So there's some cartoon nudity, and the first match you fight as Ranma, as a girl, wearing nothing but like a towel around her waist, waist.
It was kind of interesting that in, I want to say a good 80% of the sprites drawn for that, they actually obscure the boobs.
Yeah.
When the boobs are shown, they have no nipples. So
right. Cancel your orders to online people.
It's very much like riding in Arsenal gear.
Yeah.
Like the fact is, you know, the idea is that your character is naked and therefore kind of at a disadvantage and sort of like, you know, it's supposed to be sort of, I guess, somewhere between fan service and like, oh, this is a bad situation to be in. But it's not really meant to be super titillating, I don't think.
Like, there's not a nipple.
Yeah.
They're weird Barbie boobs. The series was much more free with nipples, but they went for it.
I think she actually, she kind of front loaded the nudity in Ranma, didn't she? For the most part.
The very first thing I ever saw of Ranma 1/2 was when I was in college, and I think the anime had just begun to be localized, and some friends of mine, I guess, were secretly anime fans. They never really talked about it before.
We used to have to hide.
Yeah, I happened to be in their room, and they had the video cassette showing in the, you know, like on the TV. Someone was watching it, and I looked over, and this girl pops out of a pool of water, pulls open her karate gi, looks at her boobs, and screams. I was like, "What the hell is this?"
Episode one.
Yeah, it was the very first episode. It was super crazy. But yeah, I don't know. They put a lot of care into the cutscenes in this one. I love that it has lots of eye catches and stuff. So it really does feel like you're playing through the anime. So
PC Engine in general was really good about that.
Yeah, I mean that was very much the platform's thing. But I like that. It's nice. Mm-hmm. It feel like it's very much a time and place kind of thing, and that's great. Not great is Ranma 1/2 Battle Renaissance for PlayStation. Let me tell you, that game is a fudgy turd.
It's more like the Battle Dark Ages. It's not a Battle Renaissance.
Exactly. There's like a plague happening here.
I never played this. It kind of reminds me of Dragon Ball GT Final Bout, just with how the characters look and how like slow and floaty and swimmy everything is. It's just like, ugh.
It's everything that you hate about bad PlayStation 1 fighting games. It's like, you know, very, like you said, slow and floaty. The action doesn't feel convincing. The characters, you know, it's licensed, so you've got that familiar touch, but the characters all look bad. And there's a lot of, I don't know, just crappiness to it. It's the second game I ever imported after Castlevania Symphony of the Night. And I spent $80 on this game.
Ooh.
And I was so sad. Because I was in college and didn't have a lot of money to waste. And that was like the video game that I bought for that month. It was terrible. So I don't have any fond feelings about this. One thing that is interesting is that it doesn't separate Ranma's cursed and male form. So instead of treating those as two separate characters to fight as, instead all characters who have curses can be transformed in the middle of the stage by like random water events, like a geyser or, you know, like a rainstorm or something, which I think is interesting and adds some unpredictability to it, but also kind of sucks because it's extremely poorly balanced. Like, you know, it's okay for Ranma to be turned into a girl because he can still fight. He's faster. That's great. But Shampoo, Ryoga, like, they turn into these tiny little harmless animals. Like, that's it's not fun. It's really just, like, an interesting idea that they didn't think through. That seems to be the theme here. They didn't think it through.
You're also forgetting what I'm watching now are glorious CGI cutscenes that make the characters look worse than they do in 2D and, like, cruder. But, yeah, it's very of the era.
Yeah, it looks a lot worse than even the worst of the Super Famicom games, just by merit of it being poorly modeled early 3D.
Anyway, we're through the fighting games, thank God. There are quite a few other Ranma games, but most of these are adventures, so we won't go into too much detail about them. But some of them are pretty fun. I've played some of them. I've looked at videos of all of them and read up on all of them. Did a lot of research trying to get details. I think the very first Ranma game was just called Ranma One Half. It was a PC Engine CD-ROM game, and it's a belt-scrolling brawler like Bad Dudes or Kensaden or something. And like that one fighting game on PC Engine, it attempts to basically tell the Ranma One Half story, beginning at Jusenkyo. So it begins before the manga. The manga, like Jusenkyo, you find out about the curse in a flashback. But here, you actually fight through Jusenkyo, and you have to fight against Genma on those bamboo poles while the guard in the Maoist hat is like, "Oh, sirs, please do not." The big appeal here is the extensive cutscenes, which are, you know, very much in the PC Engine CD-ROM mold.
They look really nice.
They're nice. I mean, they're poorly animated, but, you know, they're not full motion video. They're
right.
They're sprite art that's been slightly animated, and it's nice. It's very much of a time and place again.
For the time period, it looks pretty nice.
Yeah, this is, I guess a better comparison for this game might be like China Warrior or something. It's like a year after China Warrior. And, I mean, obviously it doesn't have the big gimmicky sprites, but it has that same general kind of feel. And that also that sort of stiffness. Like, it's not that fun to play. It feels very kind of clunky. But it tries to be, tries to be creative with the source material. Like, you have matches that are sort of like boss fights against other characters. And there are some special events, like the first time Ranma and Akane go to school together, it's almost like a runner level. And Ranma is running and Akane is running alongside him. And you're both beating up all the school students who are coming to proclaim their love to Akane. It's really fun and cute.
It's a good video game interpretation of that scene. They were trying to be creative.
Then there is Kakugeki Mondo on Game Boy, ooh, a Ranma trivia adventure. This was the first Ranma game I ever played on an emulator. And you walk around and other Ranma 1/2 characters challenge you to questions about the anime. And not having any real Japanese literacy at the time, this was, you know, 20-odd years ago.
Or even the benefit of Google Translate.
Right, yeah. I was like, what the hell am I doing in this game?
So, having looked at the Game Boy Advance library like you have, Jeremy, would you say it has an unusual amount of trivia games? That's something I've noticed when, like, just playing random ROMs.
There are quite a few trivia games on Game Boy, yes.
I don't know.
I mean, a few of those coming up in, like, next year or so.
It's a good format for that sort of thing, but we just never got any of them. I mean, because I believe that Shinji Mikami, Resident Evil creator, his first Capcom job was a trivia game, a Game Boy trivia game. That's where he started.
Yeah, there are several by Capcom.
Yeah,
I genuinely wish we got more of them because I actually love trivia games, but they just never get translated.
Well, a lot of them are about, you know, Japanese anime or about a given company's game output. Like the Capcom one, I have that game, and it's
that was on Game Center CX.
Oh, was it? It seems to be all about
Capcom episodes of Quiz. I think.
Okay,
they did at least
Quiz
one.
No Hatana.
Yeah.
So, like, the cover has, Dr. Wily and the Red Armor and Damned from Final Fight on
it. Okay, yeah.
But they're all in, like, super cute Keiji Inafune cartoon style.
It does seem to be, a more popular Japanese thing, because I remember one of the later Shenmue games, Yakuza games, 3 or 4, they didn't localize one of the major trivia mini games because they said if we localize this, you wouldn't get any of them right. And I think in Mega Man Legends 2, there's a trivia mini game, but they actually rewrote all the questions to be about American pop culture, which takes a lot of work.
Yeah, they totally relocalized that one, which was nice. And it was that scary little girl who gave me the questions.
But in Yakuza, we still got the Manzai game in Yakuza 5.
That's
that
true.
That was amazing. And everybody hates it. I kind of enjoyed it. But.
I don't know how to play most of the gambling-based minigames in Yakuza because they're all very Japanese gambling games.
The only ones I can't play are Shogi. I don't do well at Shogi.
Yeah, Shogi.
Because in Mahjong, I have never sat down and learned the rules for Mahjong because it's so intense. It's so many. But I can play CeeLo. I can play Hanafuda. I love Hanafuda. Hmm. Koi Koi is where it's at.
So on Mega CD, the one Mega CD, Sega CD Ranma game, Byakuran Aika, which is a visual novel featuring a villain who never appeared in the manga, who kidnaps everyone, and that's about it. It's basically like the plot to Ni Hao My Concubine, but without the cool animation, the movie-grade animation, and it's extremely dialogue and menu-heavy. It does have lots of voice acting by the actual voice actors from the anime, which is nice.
Benefit of the PC Engine and Sega Mega CD.
Yep. But unfortunately, it also includes a lot of simplistic turn-based battles, which don't look fun at all. And reading reviews of this, like visual novel fans do not like it. Ranma 1/2 fans do not like it.
Yeah, the
no
battles,
one likes it.
They just seem luck-based.
Yep.
Entirely.
But I think a better interpretation of Ranma as like a turn-based battle system came on Super Famicom with Akane Kodan Tekihiho, which is, even though it says Akane in the title, it's not about Akane. It's about, like the red ghost pirate cat or something. So basically there's like some sort of, ghost cat, like a demon or something, or a yokai who is basically trying to increase his power in the world. And Ranma, being mortally afraid of cats, is adamantly opposed to this because he does not want cats to rule the world. So this is a Super NES RPG, and it's actually been fan translated. So if you want to play it, I think it's at romhacking.net, the localization. And it's a pretty solid looking, you know, bog standard, but charming and pleasant in its way. Super NES RPG. Like, I've certainly seen worse Super NES RPGs than Ranma 1/2. Have you guys played this at all?
I might have. I was going to ask Caitlin, how does this compare to the Sailor Moon RPG on Super Nintendo?
I would say they're different for their respective properties, but they're pretty comparable. You could do a lot worse than playing either one of those games.
And they're all pretty breezy. I'm pretty sure I did play this. I'm looking it up right now. The translation came out in the year 2000, so 18 years ago. So I'm positive I played through this one summer, one summer weekend or whatever. So. Yeah, if you like Ranma characters, it's just a breezy RPG.
You could do a lot worse. It's an enjoyable way to kill a weekend. If you're into the property anyway. If you're not, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I feel like you needed to have a vested interest in this, but an existing
but
interest.
But that's true of most licensed RPGs.
Yeah.
True that. So also, the final Super Famicom game is one called Ogi Janken, which is a Puyo Puyo clone, but it has a rock, paper, scissors Janken theme. And it's a really, like, I have trouble wrapping my head around this game. Basically, instead of trying to just match colors, each of the colors is assigned to rock, paper, or scissors. And
you have to sandwich them.
Yeah, you have to, like, somehow
so
beat,
it's like Yoshi's,
beat a symbol.
Yoshi's egg or Yoshi.
Yeah, kind of like that. So it's sort of abstract and, you know, it's a competitive fighter, so you can send garbage over to the other person's side. But I don't know. I feel like when you... There's only so many puzzle games of this type that are good, and when you try to get fancier and, you know, come up with something more complex than the big hits, it doesn't work. The solution is to find a new idea instead of making someone's other idea less fun.
They only went with rock, paper, scissors because it can have a vague connection to gambling, and they wanted to use Gambling King again, I guess.
Hmm. Sure, I guess so.
Well,
That's the only loose, connection I can think of.
But that's about all I got, because it's really the only connection to the series, but you could Heck, I've had money matches in rock, paper, scissors, so why not?
Another, I think the last of the PC Engine CD-ROM games is a visual novel called Toraware no Hanayome, which is interesting mainly for the fact that it's the only non-fighter Ranma game that lets you play as characters other than Ranma. Like, Ranma games are always, you control Ranma. But this one, Ranma is actually the blushing bride who gets kidnapped to be forced to marry someone, as opposed to Akane or Shampoo or whoever. So his friends have to go and save him so that he does not become someone's wife. Which, you know, I can understand the problems there.
Speaking of Nihao, my concubine.
Right, exactly. So, like, this is a very weirdly common theme in Ranma stuff. Like, lots of women get kidnapped to be turned into wives.
Nobody has ever actually made a wife.
Right.
But everybody's kidnapped to be a wife.
But this is the one time that Ranma gets kidnapped to be a wife, I think.
So the famously unmarried Rumiko Takahashi, that's her social commentary.
I guess,
women are kidnapped into marriage.
Exactly. Like, it's
read into
fate
it
worse
want.
Than death. See, then there's Netsuretsu Kakutohen on Game Boy, which is a side-scrolling adventure. Actually, this was the first one that I ever played on an emulator. The other one was the second one I played. But this is one where it seems like it's going to be an action game. It's like a side-scrolling game, 2D. Like, you play as Ranma, you walk around. The graphics are kind of cute. They're fine. And there's no action. You just, like, walk around talking to people.
No,
it's,
that was...
it's like a day in the life.
I was looking at that long play, and it is intensely boring. There's, nothing happens in it.
Yeah, like you literally just walk around
room,
and talk to
walk
people.
Walk around a couple times, leave the room, go to another one, walk around back and forth. Nobody would be there.
This is a very bad reference, but it reminds me of Alex Kidd in High Tech World.
Yeah?
It just looks like a platformer. Just you're just going to random rooms and talking to people and being bored.
I was going to say ALF
Master too.
System. Or
Alpha is just
Garfield.
A lesser Alex Kidd in High Tech World. Sorry.
Yeah. Fair enough. There are definitely another one might be Takeshi's No Chosinjo, you're just like walking around doing stuff.
But that's amazing in its own special.
Yeah,
way.
Like that one at least had its own personality. Whereas this is just like
a heck of one.
Here's some kind of cute black and white Ranma characters doing stuff.
I love hearing what people would say about myths on how to beat Takeshi no Chosenjo. The craziest stuff come out of people.
Then, winding down, there's another Game Boy game, one that I've actually covered on Game Boy Works called Kakarinbo Deathmatch.
It was given to me.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty good. I think of all the non-fighting games here, it might, and maybe besides the RPG, it might be the best one. It's like a kind of...
It's hard to hate.
Yeah, it's very inoffensive.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of puzzle-type games, puzzle-action games on Game Boy, and this is another one, but it's pretty well done, and it does come up with an interesting application of Ranma's gender switch, which is that basically it's a box-pushing puzzle game, kind of like Pengo or something, but depending on which form you're in, you have a different level of strength. So you have to, like, change genders for Ranma in order to solve puzzles. Like, if you want to push something really far, then you turn into a male, and if you want to, you know, use finer movements, then you turn into a female. So that's kind of cool. It's not great, but it does the trick. I've played much worse on Game Boy, believe me.
It's not amazing, but it's perfectly serviceable, inoffensive. If you want to play Ranma and you feel like playing a puzzle game, go nuts.
And really, what more could we want in a video game than to be kind of inoffensive?
When you've played so many awful games, I'll take an offensive.
Yep. And finally, the last of the Ranma games is an MSX game, a point-and-click adventure called Hiryu Densetsu. And it is very much in the style of, you know, like the classic graphical adventure game, like, you know, Shadowgate, or before that,
The ICOM games.
Yeah, the ICOM games, but also on the Japanese side, stuff like Portopia.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Portopia, for sure.
Yeah, like this was a big, you know, the detective games, Jake Hunter.
Jake Hunter's great.
Yeah, they've all totally blanked out of my mind, but it's exactly like that. You just like walk around to different scenes and you'll talk to characters and basically you run through all your dialogue options and all your item options and eventually you'll do whatever you have to do in that particular scene and then you'll move on to the next one. It's not that great. It's very much, you know, kind of standard fare. It's interesting because it was developed by BothTech, a company that would eventually become Quest. And Quest would be known for developing games like Tactics Ogre and Final Fantasy Tactics. This is a far cry from that.
We're missing one final game. I just found it. It's a pachinko machine from 2011.
It's not a video game.
There's the pachinko machine you were asking about.
Yeah, it's based on the 2009 or whatever OVA or movie, whatever came out then. But I was just curious. Like everything from the 90s eventually comes back, and I guess that was Ranma's one brief resurgence.
And I think that tied in with the live-action TV series. I think those were around the same time.
It said it's features high-quality animation based on the newer anime look from the film or OVA Nightmare Incense of Spring Sleep.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one yet.
I mean, again, Dragon Ball came back and Sailor Moon came back. I feel like there's got to be room for more 90s anime to come back in some way in Japan.
I hope they keep picking the good ones.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of crappy ones.
Yeah. Yeah, so that final game, Hiryu Densetsu, I don't necessarily recommend anyone playing it, but there is a long play online that I will link to in the comments for this episode, which is pretty amazing because it has an auto-translate on it, and the auto-translate on it keeps reading the kanji that form Ranma's name. His name basically means crazy horse, like that's what the kanji mean. And so they keep translating his name just as horse. So it's like horse keeps saying stuff. And also the cutting room floor. I was doing research on this and found a little bit at the cutting room floor. And apparently there is a nude pinup of Ranma hidden inside the code. So that's the classiest
Maybe
Ranma
she
game.
She has nipples this time.
She absolutely does.
Oh, wow. Snap.
I thought that was part of the curse. It's like you will become a nippleless woman if splashed with water.
Yes.
Very specific.
All right, so that's it for Ranma 1/2, I guess. Is there any? Do we have any final thoughts? Any final opinions we need to weigh in with on these games, on the series, etc.?
I just think it's worth examining. If you haven't, maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. But it's so important to what everything that has come after it in anime, manga. You at least have to take a look at it and make the call for yourself whether or not you're interested, but you can't ignore it.
Yeah,
I was going to say, again, my recommendation, there's a lot of it, and whenever there's a lot of an anime or a manga, you might be intimidated, but it's on, I believe, Hulu and probably Funimation, and if you just want to check in for that first season, it's a good taste of probably, in terms of animation quality, the best the series ever looked, and if you want to pursue it more, it's available everywhere for money. You know, the manga you can buy, and I assume the OVAs and movies are around. Jeremy, you said you've been buying them on Blu-ray?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So there's no shortage of Ranma. It's not like Evangelion where you can't find it anywhere. So
yeah, Viz did a pretty good job of bringing it back into circulation a couple of years ago. So good on them. I have a lot of fondness, like I said, for this series just because it was kind of an introduction for me to the concept of manga. So I don't know necessarily how a newcomer would feel to it, but like I said, I do feel it has a pretty wide crossover appeal to people of many different persuasions, genders, nationalities, interests, etc. Like there's a little bit of something, a lot of different things in here. There's comedy, romance, there's a little bit of dirty humor. It's sometimes extremely screwball slapstick, sometimes extremely clever. There's some fighting, some martial arts. So, yeah, like it's a very broad sort of work, but I feel
they
like that works for its.
They tried very hard to put something in there for everyone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Rumiko Takahashi. Like I said, Maison and Koku is my favorite thing by her, but Ranma is a close second. Although I do hope that someday someone localizes the rest of Urusei Yatsura, the manga.
I'm the one who loves Urusei Yatsura.
So. I believe... Well, so did all the anime come out or no?
The anime has come out, yes.
That's right. And
on VHS.
And that's
VHS.
A little closer to 200 episodes, I think.
Yeah, that's a whole lot.
It's much longer, but...
Yeah.
But the manga never did.
I don't think Takahashi has made anything... as huge since Inuyasha ended, but she still does produce work. But I feel like she is probably approaching 60 or in her 60s. I don't see her creating another 40-volume manga series anytime soon.
Yeah, apparently
she's
earned
it.
Her current series, Rinne, is actually supposedly really good, from people have told me, so that might be worth checking out. It's gone on for about as long as Ranma at this point.
Really? Okay. Yeah. But that was off my radar.
I read the first volume of it and was like, I think I've outgrown this. But, you know, for those who haven't, then I hear it's good, so give it a shot. Anyway, this has been another Weeaboo episode of Retronauts. Deal with it. I am, of course, the Prince of Weeaboo. I'm Jeremy Parrish. And thanks very much, Caitlin, for coming to
our... I am Maho Shoujo, Caitlin. Thank you.
Okay. Maho or Mao?
Mao.
I'm Hot-Blooded Bob.
And so Caitlin, why don't you tell people where they can find you on the internet if they want to follow you and not stalk you, but just like
the best
follow
place
the cool stuff you do.
The best place to find me is Twitter. I tweet all the time because I have no life. It's S.A. Caitlin, as in Sierra Alpha, C-A-I-T-L-I-N. I'm totally cool and post pictures of cats and video games all the time. Hit me up.
Bob?
Hey, I have no life too. So, and I've never logged off of Twitter. I'm still on it to this day. So you can find me on there as Bob Servo.
He's tweeting right now.
I'm actually looking at Twitter right now. I missed a whole lot of tweets. But I will say that I do other stuff outside of Retronauts. I do Talking Simpsons, which is a chronological exploration of The Simpsons. And we have a Patreon there. That's patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons. If you go there, I don't want to give you the whole spiel on this, but there's a ton of podcasts, dozens upon dozens of exclusive podcasts. We also have What a Cartoon, our weekly series that looks at a different cartoon from a different series every week. And we also have Talking Futurama, which Jeremy will be on towards the end of our first season run. So there's a lot going on our Patreon. But both Talking Simpsons and What a Cartoon are free, and all the bonus stuff in advance episodes are on our Patreon at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons. Thank you very much.
And, of course, I'm Jeremy Parrish. You can find me on Twitter as GameSpite and around the internet at places like Retronauts.com, which is also where you can find the Retronauts podcast, as well as, you know, things like Apple Podcasts and the Podcast One Network, who hosts this. So there's all of that. And, of course, Retronauts is supported through Patreon, patreon.com/Retronauts. Get you early access with better quality, audio quality. Like, the quality of content is always the same, whether you're listening for free or not. It's a great podcast, by God.
But you're Al Pacino.
By God.
Great podcast.
That's right. So don't make us break your legs. Support us on Patreon or not. It's cool. We just like for people to enjoy our show. It's awesome. So that is it. Ranma One Half. We are out. Peace, everyone.
Get ready for hard work, for high expectations, for high fives, for you've got this, for I did it, for you're hired. You've got it in you. Now let us bring it out of you. If you're as serious about your success as we are, bring it. Visit rmu.edu today. Robert Morris University. Get ready.
The Mueller Report. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. President Trump was asked at the White House if Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report should be released next week when he will be out of town.
I guess from what I understand, that will be totally up to the Attorney General.
Maine's Susan Collins says she would vote for a congressional resolution disapproving of President Trump's emergency declaration to build a border wall, becoming the first Republican senator to publicly back it. In New York, the wounded supervisor of a police detective killed by friendly fire was among the mourners attending his funeral. Detective Brian Simonson was killed as officers started shooting at a robbery suspect last week. Commissioner James O'Neill was among the speakers today at Simonson's funeral.
It's a tremendous weight to bear, knowing that your choices will directly affect the lives of others. But cops like Brian don't shy away from it. It's the very foundation of who they are and what they do.
The robbery suspect and a man police say acted as his lookout have been charged with murder. I'm Ed Donahue.